This is Bob, Groz, and Tom.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio and streaming nationwide on the 710 Sports app and 710sports.com.
Hour number two of Bob, Groz, and Tom. A reminder, you can listen to our show via the 710 Sports app, driven by your Puget Sound Acura dealers. Should tell you, we've got Mariners tickets to give away. It's the True to the Red, White, and Blue Fireworks Night, July 3rd. We'll have two tickets for that game. Mariners will be hosting the St. Louis Cardinals. How about that? Cardinals.
Been a while.
That's pretty cool.
There will be a lot of Cardinals fans there.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure there will. Mariners will light up the sky with a post-game fireworks show. You can find tickets at mariners.com, but we're giving away a pair of them at the end of the show, so make sure you're paying attention.
I would think that if I was a St. Louis Cardinals fan in St. Louis, this would be an exciting trip to make.
To head to Seattle?
Yeah. Get out of the 150-degree weather.
Get out of the humidity. I don't know if it's hit the humidity has peaked there yet.
Well,
but
July,
it's
though.
It's coming.
Oh, yeah. In July, it's bad.
Yeah. It's not like that dry heat I'll be in next week that I was showing you.
Yeah, but hot is hot.
I'm going to be in Vegas all next week going down for the UFC fight, and I was showing Groz the forecast for next week. 105,
yeah.
109.
I don't care how dry it is. Stay indoors.
109. My goodness. What's it going to be like in August? What's it get up to in Vegas? What's the high? Does it get up to like 118?
It's much warmer than that, but you're catching it pretty hot.
Yeah, the people that are talking, oh, it's dry heat. Give me a break.
Eventually, you get to a point where it's just heat.
Yeah, it's 109 is 109.
That's right. I don't care how dry it is.
It's called uncomfortable and dangerous. That's exactly right. So, yeah, I'll be experiencing that next week. I'll be indoors, mostly, I'm going to guess, unless I'm in a pool.
No kidding.
So, yeah, we'll see. I'm going to guess the stadiums will be packed, though, when the Cardinals come to town. That'll be fun. A big draw. So we'll have a pair of tickets for that. Again, that one for the July 3rd matchup, the True to the Red, White, and Blue Fireworks Night. So that's coming up. Meanwhile, Maura Dooley, producer for John Clayton, will join us here in just a little bit, talk about her weekend with the XFL. But this is the time of year for lists when it comes to the NFL, right?
Right, because there's nothing going on.
Yep, just a way to stay in everybody's consciousness, to keep people talking about the NFL, whether it's Kurt Warner and his top 10 quarterbacks or power rankings or who won the offseason, blah, blah, blah. Well, you got a new one. NFL's offseason ranking the seven biggest whiffs this spring.
So mistakes.
Yep. Seven biggest mistakes. Number one. Any guess? Have you already seen the list?
I have not. Can I just do like a Giants?
No.
Wasn't the Giants thing?
No. Not number one. There's a hint. They're on the list.
Well, they got to be on the list. Yeah. For maybe more than one reason.
I don't think it's not obvious. It doesn't immediately come to mind. It's the number one, according to this, is Kevin Seifert wrote this for NFL Nation. Arizona Cardinals botched the Josh Rosen trade.
Okay.
He's saying, to be fair, there is no guidebook for handling Arizona's draft situation. No team had ever traded away a first-round quarterback after 1 year. Cardinals made a defensible decision in drafting Kyler Murray that necessitated the move on Rosen. But they're basically saying they should have traded him before they drafted Murray, leaving people guessing. They took away some of their draft stock. When they settled for a second and a fifth-round pick, the time to deal him was before they select Murray, not after, when there's no question they had to do it, is his criticism.
Seems like a stretch, doesn't it? I mean, Kingsbury had been on record. I mean, you knew they were going to do it.
Yeah. Number two, Teddy Bridgewater turns down the Miami Dolphins' chance to compete as a starter, to remain as the backup for Drew Brees.
Wasn't even on my radar. How about you?
No. Giants would have been my first and probably only answer if I'm talking about just off-season whiffs. They would have been 1 through 7. But they talk about
maybe Gase, the Dolphins thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Says Bridgewater had a chance to start again with the rebuilding Dolphins. It was clearly not the most attractive quarterback job in the NFL, given its potential short-term time frame and the hurdles the Dolphins face in the AFC East. But by turning down the Dolphins and returning to the Saints as Drew Brees' backup, Bridgewater further delayed his return to the field.
All right.
So, again, just this guy's opinion.
Understood. Now, not going to rail against it.
Here's where people might rail against it, at least out here anyway. Number three. Russell Wilson compromises in contract negotiations.
I heard the promo we're running with Clayton, I guess, on with the morning guys about it, and Clayton said it very simply. He's the highest paid. When he did a deal, he became the highest paid quarterback, highest paid player. How can that be a bad deal?
Highest paid player based on new money average and signing bonus. But at age 30, as the Seahawks' unquestioned franchise player, he had the leverage to push into new realms. It might have meant playing out the 2019 season without a new deal, but ultimately it could have led to precedent-changing structures such as four fully guaranteed years or perhaps a tie-in to the rise of the salary cap. Wilson was well within his rights to stop short of that, but it was a loss for those who want to see fundamental changes to the NFL player contracts.
Here's a flash. That could still happen in 5 years.
Yeah, well, they've got a new CBA they're going to be bargaining here. So,
and he'll be a free agent again, and he could very well be at the top of his game again at 35.
Yeah, so Wilson will be the Seahawks' starting quarterback for the foreseeable future, but the fully guaranteed Kirk Cousins contract signed in 2018 remains an extreme outlier in the NFL's contract structure landscape. So
I think asking him to take a bullet for everyone else is ridiculous.
That's what I was just going to say. He's not under any obligation to set the standard for those who are coming up behind him.
No, he's not. And again, it's just the... On the surface, to become the highest paid player, call it a mistake, is just crazy.
Yeah, I'm not sure where his concern for those, you know, others who will be approaching this situation should play into this. He's handling his business for his family and his future.
And what difference is Russell Wilson's contract going to make for anyone else?
Feeling like he sets a standard. Like, okay, now that he sat out, he hard bargaining, got this in place, whether it's 4 years guaranteed or whatever they thought he was going to be able to achieve. Now he's set it in place for Mahomes and any of these other young quarterbacks that are coming up behind him. Jared Goff, whoever.
I just was thinking if Wilson hadn't signed, what our conversation would have been like for the last month.
Well, was he out at camp? Was he out at OTAs?
We'd still be talking about it.
What's his demeanor? We'll get a body language expert in here to talk about what he looked like.
I am so glad he signed at the end of the day. I mean, I know
those conversations.
I think originally we were bummed because there would have been so many different ways to go with it, but I think it would have gotten tedious, don't you?
Oh yeah, yeah. Because there would have been 8 million different rumors out there. There's a proposed trade on the horizon. He does want to head to New York. It was all his wife that wanted it. He doesn't like Seattle anymore. New York is where he wants to be.
Never would have ended.
No. And the rumors would have gained steam because there's no information. So anything put out there would have been consumed and thought of as fact by a percentage of this fan base.
Yep.
A chunk of this fan base sort of said, see, told you, it's all his wife. Told you, he doesn't like Seattle. He wants to go to New York.
Well, think about how polarizing it would have been and then how fortunate the Seahawks are and the fan base is that he took the most money ever offered.
Yeah, and now looked at as he compromised.
And compromised to take the most money a quarterback, any player's ever made at the time.
So he comes out smelling like a rose, comes out as a good guy now. He compromised. He could have dug his heels in, said, nope, I need to set the precedent for those coming up behind me, not only for myself.
Well, no, he could have.
But he didn't.
Nope.
So we like him better now. Now he's Seattle's little angel again.
He always was, Bob.
Yeah. Number four on this list, another one that wouldn't have come to mind. Adam Humphries chooses the Titans over the Patriots. I guess that's what happens when you just turn down the perennial champions.
Yeah, never would have thought of it.
Yeah, so he agreed to terms on a $36 million free agent offer from the Titans. And he had a deal on the table with the Patriots and elected to go another way. All right. Number five, the New York Giants get no immediate return for Landon Collins.
Yeah.
You could have thrown in any topic.
You could have just done the New York Giants and then put in a few...
Yeah, you could Odell Beckham.
Hey, Odell Beckham, then traded him.
Yeah. Plenty of criticism has fallen on the Giants, both for their decision to draft quarterback Daniel Jones and for using their number 6 overall pick rather than number 17 to grab him. Both choices are defensible from a broad view, allowing Collins to depart via free agency rather than using the franchise tag to execute a trade, though. That was at least uninspired and at most felony mismanagement.
I don't disagree.
Collins might generate a third-round compensatory pick, but that won't be available for use until next year. The Giants have lost 24 of their past 32 games and have one playoff appearance in 7 seasons. So they missed a chance to generate more help right now, and the return for losing one of their best players won't be available until September 2020 at the earliest. So there you go. I like that.
Now that one I agree with.
Felony mismanagement.
That's one awesome. Playoff appearance in the last 7 years. I didn't realize things had been that bleak there.
Yeah, and just making move after move where people are going, wait, what? You know, you sign Odell to this contract extension. You have the guy come out and say specifically, we didn't offer this. We didn't sign this guy to an extension just to turn around and trade him.
And then turn around and trade him.
A week later. After they gave him 20 mil, by the way.
All right.
So, yeah, if you're a Giants fan, and I know Tom rails against this, but you've got every right in the world to be upset with this franchise. Number six on this list, San Francisco 49ers miss out on Odell Beckham Jr. and Antonio Brown.
I didn't realize there were players for those guys.
52 wide receivers caught more passes last season than the 49ers team leader, which was Kendrick Bourne. In a draft class that lacked a dominant blue-chip player at the position, two of the league's top veteran playmakers were available via trade, but the 49ers' offer for Beckham fell short, and they decided not to pursue Brown. So there you go.
Well, I can't blame him for not pursuing Brown, considering the baggage that was there. I didn't realize there was such a player for Beckham, though, did you?
No, I didn't know they had made a legit offer, but it said had they closed the Beckham deal, the 49ers would have had an elite receiver in place for quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo returning from a torn ACL, making a strong duo.
That's true.
Yeah. So I'm not sure how far below the ultimate offer they were, but I guess
I'm glad they were.
Yeah. It would have been kind of cool to see Beckham out here a couple times a year.
Need the 49ers to have any more weapons.
All right. And then number seven on this list, Anthony Barr turns down a chance to rush the passer with the New York Jets. So he's the rare outside linebacker who was drafted in the top 10 but isn't used much as a pass rusher. Talking about that's a function of the Minnesota Vikings scheme, which puts him all over the field and has limited his skills as a rusher. The Jets wanted to find out and offered him a massive free agent contract that Barr accepted before changing his mind and returning to Minnesota. So there you go. Blown opportunity as they see it.
Okay.
So that's your top seven whiffs.
One man's opinion, I really, not surprisingly, disagree with the Russell Wilson take. It seems indefensible to me.
Yeah, I'm not sure why they feel like he's obligated to do something that's going to benefit everybody behind him. How many players in this league do that?
That hurts the team, hurts his situation.
Yeah, I'm going to take the bullet. I'm going to become a pariah on some levels. He was starting to, even with the... You think about it, it was a pretty short amount of time that was really a top story out here, right?
It became a story long. When he put the deadline in. It was a story for 3 weeks.
Yeah, in that time, he was starting to take heat. You started seeing texts, let him go. He's not that great. His wife. It's all that stuff we talked about. He wants to go to New York. He doesn't want to be here.
All true.
He was imagine had he dug in his heels and said, nope, we're just going to play this season under this deal, and that's it.
I don't want to imagine it, Bob.
It
would have been fun for a while, but I think it would have really gotten old.
Yeah, and in this writer's opinion, apparently, he should have done that.
Who's this guy again?
This is Kevin Seifert.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go. Meanwhile, the XFL had their combine over the weekend, and we had we had Jake Heaps out there participating. He was part of the combine. What I didn't know is there was a media combine, and we had another one of our favorites here. She is now deemed the Combine Queen.
Absolutely, Maura.
Maura Dooley, producer of the John Clayton Show, but now the Combine Queen. How are you?
I thought I was trying out for the XFL.
I thought you were too, but I don't know how you stacked up against everybody else. I only saw your workout. But before we get into what you did, you were out there watching Jake. You were out there watching everybody else. Did he stand out from the rest of the crowd? Did he light it up and everybody else looked mediocre compared to him?
Jake looked really good. Yeah, it was awesome to get to see him do that. Unfortunately, I think they started practicing, from what I heard, around 9 or so, and they didn't let the media until 11:30. They started doing press conferences shortly after noon, so we really didn't get to see a ton.
Oh.
Did anything stand out in terms of the practices?
I think...
The little bit that you did see?
Yeah, I think Keith Price and Jake Heaps getting to see the quarterbacks. They stood out. They had some big boys doing some of the line drills, that's for sure. And I was impressed with the kicking. I kept saying that I think the Chicago Bears should maybe look at this guy.
So how did Price look?
He looked fresh too. I was surprised. I mean, it's been a little while since these guys have thrown, but they both looked good. I think Jake might have had the edge on him though.
Okay.
They were probably the top two QBs out there, right?
Yeah, definitely. And then Bishop Sankey was supposed to be there, but he didn't show. I'm not sure what happened with that. We didn't get any word.
How many people were out there, would you guess?
It was supposed to be about 100.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they didn't let the media in until the very end, though. That's interesting.
Yeah.
And I think I heard John say there weren't many media members there. Is that right?
Yeah. There was – I saw more at – they had a Q&A at Escala on Thursday night. And I saw a little bit more of the writers, and Q13 was there that night.
Okay.
But, yeah, it was a little quieter for the showcase, which I would kind of think would be opposite.
Were there any other familiar names out there? Anybody you recognize? Like, oh, I've heard of this guy, or watched this kid play.
Media? Oh, no.
No, not media. Those trying out in the
I was combat. Looking for NFL Network. not really a ton. I just a lot of former Huskies and, you know, Jess recognizes more of the Washington State names than I do because Jessamyn McIntyre does the sidelines down there. But hopefully we'll get to know some. And honestly, they're saying that they think they're going to get, once the NFL makes their cuts, that they're going to get some NFL players too. So, guys.
Jim Zorn was running the whole thing, huh?
Yeah, he's great.
He is great.
Is he the one that ran you through your paces?
No, that was someone named Stephen Austin. He was the director of the whole showcase. I guess he travels around and does that.
Okay.
He was a character.
So there was a legit media combine, or was this spur of the moment, like, hey, you want to come out here and try this?
Or? They asked us ahead of time, but I don't know. No one was, like, they were too chicken to do it, I guess. The only three of us signed up for.
Who were the three?
I had a good cheering squad, though. So it was Jackson Bevins from KJR, and then the other guy, Richard, I don't know his last name, but he was from somewhere out in Spokane called The Fan Show.
Okay.
And poor Richard came in a suit. He looked really nice, but he
looked really nice.
He had dress shoes on, so he decided that he'd be better off doing it in socks instead of the Rich Eisen route where, you know, he just does everything in his dress shoes.
Yeah.
So Steven, the guy that coached us that I was telling you about, he kind of gave Richard a real hard time.
Really?
He kept
running around in dress shoes?
Yeah. We were going through the drills. He'd be like, all right,
socks.
All right, socks, you're up next. Get over here. And then he was telling him, I'm 69 years old and I'm more flexible than you. I'm going to get you a gym membership.
Wow.
Whoa.
Wow. Look at that. So did you know that was going on?
Yeah, we were waiting next
to No. Did you know they were having a media combine?
Yeah.
Okay.
They asked Jessamyn and I if we wanted to do it, but Jessamyn basically said she has, like, no ACL left. She tore up her knee.
Yeah, because you came in jeans.
Yeah, but my thing was that I also I didn't know for sure if anyone else had even signed up, so I wasn't quite sure that we were going to do it. I said that I would, but from everything I'd heard, no one else said yes. So I didn't want to show up in full workout gear and be the only one.
Headband, sweatbands, right. Whole thing.
Yeah. So I actually brought some workout gear in case. But they just kind of threw us into it, said it would be casual. So
do they have much information on what their schedule's like and when they're going to have a training camp and things like that?
I think
January, right? Think, like the month, the season's in
the
February?
The season kicks off February 8th next year, I believe, and goes through April, I think. But
when are they going to start signing
They're
guys,
supposed to have their teams together in October.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they're actually going to probably...
They're hoping the NFL cuts are going to bring some guys their way.
I would assume that they're probably right with that, right?
Yeah. I mean, we were talking about the possibility that whoever out of Geno Smith and Paxton Lynch loses the job might end up in the XFL.
Hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, why not, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nowhere else to go.
He's got
to
beat out Jake Heaps first.
And they're talking about doing it in an interesting way where they're saying that they're going to have tier one quarterbacks for each team, and everyone else is going to be in one big pool for them to draft from, but they might just allocate a quarterback for each team.
So they wouldn't
not
draft.
Part of the pool, yeah.
So what, Jake would go to the Seattle franchise and so-and-so would go to this New York team?
Yeah, I don't know how they'd pick if they would do it just because he's
I'm sure they would
area.
Do it regionally, wouldn't you guys think? I mean,
yeah.
You know,
I would think so.
Quarterback's the sexiest position and, in theory, the best known of the guys and Jake would fit that bill, so would Keith Price, for that matter.
Yeah. What I liked hearing is that they're drafting by position. So, like, all eight teams, okay, we're all drafting quarterbacks. All right, next up is running back. I don't know the order, but now everybody drafts a running back. Now everybody drafts a linebacker. That's kind of interesting, right?
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, like the regular draft, somebody takes a quarterback, somebody takes a guard, whatever.
I like some of the ideas that they had. I really liked, I asked Oliver Luck about all the controversy the NFL has had this offseason with replay review. Mm-hmm. And I said, do you guys have a plan about what you're going to do yet? And he said, yeah, we're going to do it better.
Yeah, I heard what he said. He said, and
I was like, all right.
Going to have the eye in the sky.
Yeah. Yeah. So what Clayton has been advocating for the NFL to do, that's what they're going to do. And I guess the AAF did that as well. They're going to have a sky judge. And he said that right now, I believe he said the NFL reviews on average take like two and a half minutes. And they believe they can do it in less time than that. And that the sky judge can make sure that it's the correct call.
Was there any presence of the WWE?
I didn't notice any.
Wrestlers running around?
Well, no. I mean, last time it was so ubiquitous that they got it involved. Yeah. This time they seem to be trying to
I think they're trying to avoid
away.
Any connection to that.
If they're smart, they should.
Yeah, especially with the AAF folding so quickly, they're really trying to, you know, convey that they know what they're doing and that they're taking this very seriously this time.
Trying to distance themselves from that?
Yeah.
That failed product? No. This is legit. That was the flyer. That didn't work at all. So what was the most impressive thing about it? I mean, it stinks you didn't get a chance to watch the whole practice, but
Yeah, I just wish we would have gotten to see a little bit more. But I saw Daryl Moose Johnston out there. I didn't know he was involved.
Okay.
That was cool.
Really?
Yeah.
What's his role? What's he doing? Do you know?
That's what I asked John, and he wasn't sure. I wasn't sure if he was specifically with this team or if he was with the entire XFL and he was traveling.
Okay.
I'll have to look into that. But
wow. So John was out there, and he didn't partake in the media combine?
No. It was his anniversary with Pat, so he said if he came home with a pulled hammy or... You know,
be in trouble.
Torn quad or
she'd
something.
Divorce him. Yeah. That's it. It's over. I can't remain married to a man with a pulled hamstring.
They really wanted him to try.
So well, now that you're invested, will you be an XFL fan, do you think, Maura?
Yeah. I'm excited, especially because I did enjoy with the AAF having something in the off season, especially here because we're waiting for hockey to come.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's kind of a lull sometimes around here.
Sometimes.
And the fact that it's CenturyLink. I mean, that doesn't get much better than that.
This was at Memorial Stadium, right?
Yeah. They think that's where they're going to practice.
Okay.
It's not set yet, but and then games at CenturyLink.
So it must be crazy over there with them doing all the work on the arena.
At Memorial?
Yeah.
I didn't, you know, I parked a couple blocks away in Queen Anne because parking is a little crazy down there.
Yeah, that's what
but
I meant.
I didn't, inside the stadium, I didn't notice anything too bad, yeah.
Well, you look great on your, on the video combine.
I don't know.
And you had a good cheering section,
like,
too.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I think at one point they were singing. Were they not?
Lydia and Stacy were singing We Are the Champions.
Could you hear them when they were doing that?
No, I couldn't actually. They both made these awesome videos they put on Twitter. Yeah, I couldn't ask for better cheerleaders. But yeah, I've been a distance runner my whole life. So
you weren't used to the cone drill?
Quick burst is not my strength.
Hey, you got out there and did it, though. That was awesome.
Congratulations.
That was fun. Thank you.
There she is, the Combine Queen. And she's John Clayton's producer as well. But really, the Combine
Queen. I think the Combine Queen's going to stick, if that's all right, Maura.
Yeah. I like it.
Yeah, there you go. Thanks for sitting in. That was good.
Thank you guys.
Check out the video. Did you retweet it, by the way?
No, I've commented on those. I don't think I have retweeted
it. All right, I retweeted it last night.
Okay.
So if you want to see the video of Maura in all of her glory, it's at Bob Stelton on Twitter. She did a great job out there. That looked like you had fun. So good job you. All right, coming up, if you missed anything at the start of the show, it's usually the biggest stories of the day and some of the things we don't always get to. We're going to cover that next in the Halftime Show with Bob Gross and Tom at 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Bob Gross and Tom.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
It's time for the Halftime Show.
The half is not over.
Presented by VenueKings.com.
The half is not over. There's 3 seconds on the clock.
Revisiting the biggest stories of today at the midpoint of the show.
The Halftime Show. It's not easy.
Now, here's Bob Gross and Tom.
It is the Halftime Show here with Bob Gross and Tom. We do it at this time every single day. For those of you unable to join us at the beginning of the show, we hit the biggest stories of the day to open the show. So we sort of retrace our steps here to bring everybody up to speed. We always follow it with answers to your questions. Any questions you've got on any topic or subject, just text them in right now. 710-710 is the Coors Light text line. Have an opinion already coming up in a little less than 15 minutes.
And we sometimes do new stuff. And I got one I want to throw at you, that a Bradley tweet that I saw that he responded to.
Bradley who?
Michael.
Oh, Michael Bradley.
He'll be on tomorrow. Responded to this tweet. A guy wrote, social experiment. If you come across this tweet, reply with the one athlete you'd wish had been perfectly healthy their whole career. Don't look at the replies before you reply.
The one athlete that I'm gonna guess that the name that's probably heard most often would be Bo Jackson.
Bo Jackson's a great one. Michael Bradley did
Gale
Pete Maravich.
Sayers. Who?
Pete Maravich.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
it's another great one.
I'd say Gale Sayers, even though I never saw him play. That's what I saw highlights, and people just talked about his greatness, but he had a very short career. Sandy Koufax, a fairly short career.
Although he got good later, but his arm went bad when he was old. I put on
Bill Walton.
Mine was Steve Entman.
Yeah, that's another great one. Bill Walton, the guy I never saw play, but people just talked about his foot injuries really limited what he could have truly been.
Yep. All good calls.
What about somebody who never did anything, but like
how about Mark the Bird Fidrich? Won 18 games as a rookie with Detroit, and I think he tore his
knee up.
To
the ball?
Yeah, right? Remember that guy?
Yeah. What about somebody like Greg Oden?
Marcus Dupree. Best there never was. Remember that? That was,
yeah.
30 for 30.
Yeah.
He was an Oklahoma running back who tore his knee up.
Yeah. Be interesting to see some of these guys that were dominant at the college level and then just, again, Greg Oden.
Yeah, we're talking about guys who never made it at all. At least Bo Jackson had some moments.
Yeah.
Some serious moments. And had an amazing year. Was that 85, 86 when he hit the home run in the first inning of the of the All-Star game and then ran the I think the year he got hurt. And then was played for the Raiders for 8 weeks and led him into the postseason.
Yeah.
He got hurt in the Bengals game. 89.
Yeah. Is there a dominant answer there? Is there an answer that is it Bo Jackson?
It says don't show this thread, so let me I'm sure you're right.
Some people texting in Junior.
David Wright, Bill Walton, Walton, Koufax.
Listed all those. What about Ken Griffey? You throw him. People are texting that in. Now, he had a nice long career, obviously, enough to hit over 600 home runs.
And to be the
runs.
all-time leading vote getter for the
before Mariano.
I'd say, right, before Mariano. I'd say but Griffey if he, didn't really qualify. Brandon Roy.
Yeah.
Bo Jackson, I think, is a great call.
Somebody All right. Somebody said, Griffey, duh.
Duh, Groz.
At least he had a taste of success and career, and he was just a... I mean, he was considered the best player in the game for almost a decade.
He played till he was 40.
Yeah. So it's hard to say. Now, had he been fairly healthy, you know, aged like everybody else, would he have eclipsed the home run record? Probably. Probably.
I think Edmund might have been the greatest defensive player to ever play the game if he had stayed healthy.
He was a beast.
He was the greatest college football player I ever saw.
He was a beast.
By a mile.
Story number two. That was a good one. Story number...
It was all right to jump in with that?
Yeah, that was good stuff.
All right, good.
I don't think there are any wrong answers.
I don't either.
Even though somebody put duh behind Griffey. I don't think it is a duh. Mariners win. So they took four of the seven on the homestand.
Success.
Against the two worst teams in all of baseball.
One who's really, really... I thought Baltimore stands alone.
Oh, I mean, you really did get a very clear picture of as bad as the Mariners can look.
Although we haven't seen
as disappointing as the season. No, I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But you saw a distinct difference in quality of team.
Oh, yeah.
That's saying a lot because the Mariners are not a good team. I mean, what are they, 13, 12, under 500 right now? I mean, they're a bad team. But Baltimore is atrocious.
Yep.
A horrific team on the heels of a 115 loss season. And again, I tweeted out, hey, this is a perfect example of it could be worse when people talk about that. And everybody wants to compare. They started hitting me with their franchise history, and they've won a World Series, and they've been in the playoffs.
I'm just talking about this year.
Talking about who we're watching right now. We're all complaining about a bad Mariner team, and you've got every right to complain because they are not a good team. But when somebody says, yeah, it could be worse, that's what was on display this week with the Orioles in town.
And good week for Mr. Crawford. That's what stood out for me more than the wins and losses. I thought Kikuchi, after not having his greatest stuff, actually showed a little
He battled where he hadn't
grit.
Battled in some other games. He ended up going six, giving up three runs.
That's one of the most underrated traits a pitcher can have is to throw a game like that when he doesn't have, whether it's command or his best stuff or whatever you want to call it. And he did not do that earlier in the year.
No.
He unraveled after having bad starts.
Earlier in the year, as recently as just his last few starts.
True.
He's been a bit of a concern on some level. Like, all right, how's this guy going to adjust to what the league's doing with him now? But, yeah, good to see that. At this point, we talked about wins sort of being secondary. I mean, you're just...
Completely secondary.
You're looking at the future. What does the future look like? Not what is this year and what's your record going to be at the end of this year, because it doesn't mean a thing.
Who's a piece going forward?
Yeah, that to me, you're playing a game almost within the game. You're like, all right, is this guy a part of the future or he's just part of now?
It makes it much easier to watch the games, everyone.
It does, but I think it's easier said than done to remove your fandom.
It is easier said than done, but it's not removing your fandom. It's just looking at it a different way. You're not any less a fan.
No, but
because you're rooting for the future.
We're it's so just, conditioned to root for your team to win.
It's just different than rooting in the present.
Yeah, we're all here rooting for the future. So when we're looking at J.P. Crawford going 4-for-4, driving in four, looking really good out there, you're going, that looks awesome. I'm excited about what that's going to be.
Right.
And then now you're kind of guessing with other people. Is Santana part of the future? Is Vogelback part of the future? Is Narvaez?
We talked about that, too. I mean, the guy, even Mitch Haniger, for that matter. I mean, you certainly look at guys like Leak going to be traded almost certainly. D. Gordon almost certainly.
Yeah, Tim Beckham's not part of the future.
Nope. Seager's not part of the future, even though they'd have to eat a tremendous amount of money to trade him.
Yeah.
They have to eat money to trade all those guys. The guys you're going to get value for, if you want to move beyond them, are guys like Santana, who've got control of their contract. Haniger is probably the most value. I mean, you trade Mitch Haniger, you're going to get a good piece back. You're going to get a real good prospect back, at least one.
I would think so, despite now he's not at his market high right now.
Got to get healthy and right. I mean, it's not necessarily the time to sell right now.
But he's still a guy, I think, if teams were going to look at your roster and say, all right, of the guys that are available, who do I want? They'd point at him.
He's the most attractive by a mile.
Probably point at Marco. I don't think Marco's a number one in a good staff. I think he's probably a three or a four in a really good staff. But
I think from the Mariners' standpoint, Marco's a keeper.
Yeah. And then we just touched on this a minute ago. This is the time of year where they come out with lists, right? Whether it's power rankings, whether it's, hey, who's the best quarterbacks. And this is another list that we brought up here earlier, the NFL's offseason ranking the seven biggest whiffs this spring.
And Russell Wilson found himself on that list.
Number three. So they had Arizona Cardinals botch the Josh Rosen trade. That was number one. Number two was Teddy Bridgewater turns down the Miami Dolphins to remain a backup in New Orleans. Number three, Russell Wilson compromises in contract negotiations. He compromises while...
He took the most money any player's ever made.
Yeah, highest paid player based on new money average and signing bonus at the time. And according to Kevin Seifert, who wrote this, he could have dug his heels in, played the 2019 season under the old deal, and really set the standard for those coming up behind him. I maintain, you maintain, it's not his job. He's not obligated to do anything of the sort.
No, and he wound up getting the biggest contract anyone had ever gotten up until that point in time.
And avoided all the ill will that would have culminated out here.
Remained as Seattle's little angel.
That's exactly
For now and forever.
That's right. So for anybody that was mad about him setting the deadline, look at what he could have done. Look at what some people are taking issue with him not doing.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that would have gone the wrong direction had he done that. There would have been a lot of angst and a lot of negativity going his way.
Still be talking about it.
All right, time for your questions. Any questions you've got, any topic, any subject, you can start texting them in right now. 710-710 is the Coors Light text line. Have an opinion already. Coming your way next with Bob Gross and Tom on 710 ESPN Seattle.
This is Have an Opinion Already on the Bob Gross and Tom Show. Three loud mouths, three questions, and one giant tub of hand sanitizer. Right, Bob? Let's get it on.
Let's get it on.
Nope. Try again.
Let's get it on!
Question one.
Ready for some questions? Okay. I'll take that as a yes.
Yep.
360, do you guys think MLB teams would benefit from a one-week bye similar to the NFL? I'm assuming...
They have
this
one.
Does not include ASG week.
Yeah.
So in addition to the All-Star week?
I think in addition.
Because obviously those participating don't get the break.
Correct.
I don't see how baseball needs a week off.
I think they just need to shorten the season. Which feels
fewer
like
games? Fewer games you're talking about?
Yeah. Yeah. But I don't know how you do that because you're taking away revenue from teams and owners are going to go, "Whoa, how do you plan to compensate me for X amount of games being locked off if you knock it down to 141 games or whatever, 142 games.
Yeah, well, the primary source of income for teams is local media contracts.
Right, but won't stop the owner from screaming poor if you say, all right, we're going to play instead of 162, it's 142 or 132.
And baseball's not popular enough to guarantee that. I mean, if you did that in the NFL, you shorten the season, no one's getting their money back. I don't see it happening. I don't see the one-week thing happening, and I think the season is long enough as it is. I wouldn't mind going back to 154, but...
Would you want it to be any shorter?
That's kind of the point of baseball, is to be a long season.
Wouldn't 100,
the summer days.
142 games still be a long season? It's 20 fewer, so it gives you a break.
Would be a lot more days off. I'd be willing to go to 154, but there's some tradition to that, but I wouldn't be in favor of it, no.
Question two.
425 said, if you could remake any movie sequel, which one would you choose?
Any sequel?
So many.
There are a
lot.
Ones
that were done poorly, you mean?
Yes.
I mean, Dumb and Dumber, Caddyshack.
Caddyshack, what a disaster.
Caddyshack 2 was terrible.
Told you they made a sequel to The Jerk that I never knew existed until I was like scrolling through IMDb one day.
Put it on the list.
It was The Jerk 2, T-O-O.
Now, yesterday I was watching the greatest sequel ever made.
Godfather?
Godfather 2.
I'd say Rocky's had a pretty nice run of sequels. They've had some bad ones in there. But
have you seen Creed yet?
No, I haven't.
Or Creed 2?
No.
Bob.
I just haven't. I don't know what happened.
Why?
It was such a rebuild because the last two Rockies were lame.
Yeah.
But this is totally redeemed.
What was the one after the one with Tommy Morrison? That was terrible.
I didn't even watch it.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember the storyline of the one after that. But yeah.
Creed are fantastic movies.
I will watch them. I'll get to them.
But what other bad sequel? I mean, most sequels are bad.
It feels like most sequels are bad.
Hangover, we're talking about that.
Two had some good stuff in it, but wasn't as good as one, and three was terrible.
Yeah.
The only thing I like about those movies is Mr. Chow.
He's hilarious.
Hilarious.
But they just got progressively worse. First one was spectacular. Second one was decent. The third one, I was like, ugh.
I only watched the last two and three, just because of
him. You didn't see the first one?
No, I saw the first one. The first one was great. But as far as like enjoying it, only because Mr. Chow.
Yeah, I'd say Dumb and Dumber was a massive swing and a miss.
And Caddyshack 2 was too.
Well, Dumb and Dumber, they waited forever. I mean, it was over
20
a decade.
Years.
It was ridiculous.
That was a long time.
Yeah. And then they basically used the same jokes trying to redo it. Yeah,
you can't do that.
Just
didn't
work.
Jaws 2.
Question 3.
Was that bad?
That was terrible.
I still got to see Jaws.
Jaws is intense. It's really good.
People are saying Temple of Doom was bad. Is that right?
Yeah, it wasn't terrible. It does not belong on the list of terrible. Absolutely not. I mean, you say that about the second Star Wars. Bonnie calls those the bridge movies.
The bridge movies.
Yeah, the ones where you're doing a three-peat.
Okay.
A trio. Usually the second one is just the bridge.
Oh, were you doing a trilogy?
Trilogy, thank you.
Three-peat.
tends not to have a satisfying ending.
The bridge movie.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's all about the first and the third one.
Usually.
Okay.
And that's true with Indiana Jones. The first one was great. The third one was fantastic.
Which one's the third one?
Sean Connery. The Holy Grail.
Yeah. I saw the original. I don't know if I saw this.
It was really good. River Phoenix was in it, one of his last roles as the young Indiana Jones.
All right, next question. If you were a professional athlete, what would your nickname be?
You're a professional athlete, what would your nickname be? Well, if it was baseball, there'd be some kind of E on the end of your name. Yeah, although Grosby, that doesn't really work.
No, it doesn't. You don't get to pick your nicknames, though. You get saddled with them.
Yeah, somebody picks them for you. But you'd have a tough. They'd have a tough time with you if you were playing baseball. Because usually they put, you know, Siegsy, it's this guy.
I already got a nickname.
But if, let's say you didn't have it. You were just Dave Grosby, baseball player. What are they going to call you?
Gros, they probably would.
You think so?
I think so.
Because they couldn't. Your name already's got the E.
What would yours be? Theo?
Alex? I don't know what they would be.
I don't know what
it would
be. You
can't really put an E on the end of Stelton.
Mine's Smash.
Smash?
Nice.
Where did that come from?
Smashly.
Your aggressive nature?
Smashly.
Huh?
Yes, I am very competitive.
Smashly? Is that what you said?
Yep.
I like it. Where are you throwing elbows out there in basketball? Are you... down in the post? Is this?
Yes, I had to play post once in a while, and I am not a post player, but I had to work hard and get a rebound.
Are you aggressive? Would you say you're at times maybe too hyper-competitive and hurt other people?
No, I don't hurt other people. I do it the right way. Like, I'm going to use my elbows when
I rip Smash.
The ball. I'm going to box somebody out.
And hurt other people.
I'll be the first one to pick them up, though, if they fall and the whistle blows.
Okay, if they fall.
Hey,
it's happened before.
It's too bad.
Smash. That's pretty good. Smashly.
Thank you.
That's going to stick too, Smashly.
But that's because of your physical nature.
Oh, yeah. I'm very intimidating.
All right. Uh-oh. Smashly's in
No,
the game.
I was playing a game with some Young Life friends, and it was a version of volleyball, and I had the perfect hit, and I popped somebody in the face and knocked them on their butt. And
you're,
so they called
Smashly
me
Smashly from now on.
There we go.
We got Smashly. We got the Combine Queen. We got new nicknames throughout
good
the building
Knicks.
Here.
Very good Knicks.
Good Knicks. I like that, Smashly. Next, are we out?
Anything else
grabbing you?
Everyone is just doing a lot of Temple of Dooms. They keep coming back with all of the movie sequels. So I got nothing.
Ash has sharp elbows, Bob. Okay. I'll take your word for it. That's somebody speaking from experience. My nickname would be Stelts for sure, they said.
Stelts.
Belton Stelton.
That'd be a good one if you're a baseball player.
Yeah. Die Hard 2 was a dope sequel.
That was a good sequel.
Was it?
Yeah, that's what he means.
Yeah, I know what dope means. I just didn't see the movie.
Yeah, it was good. It wasn't as good as the first, but it was good.
The first was okay. I think that gets overhyped. I mean, it was fine.
It was a good movie.
People talk about it like it's this cinematic masterpiece.
Second one was really good.
How many are there? It's like four, right?
Five, I think.
There are five?
At least five, and I think another one's coming.
Did it go the way of Rocky where it started getting stupid?
Yeah, well, the one with Samuel L. Jackson, the third one was pretty good.
Okay. All right, because I mean, I know Saul talks about
the one with the sun and
like,
Russia was lame.
I think he puts it up there with like The Godfather.
No.
Like one of the greatest movies ever.
It's a good, for its genre, it's good, but it's not The Godfather.
Yeah, come on. Being silly. All right, coming up after the performances of J.P. Crawford and Domingo Santana, this homestand, is this a rare glimpse of what's to come for this Mariner team? We're going to talk to Greg Johns of MLB.com. He'll join us next year with Bob Gross and Tom on 710 ESPN Seattle.